book of Proverbs is that it addresses almost every subject you can imagine. Everything that we can encounter in our daily lives and every practical aspect of daily living is right here in God's Word. And that's why it's so important for us not only to read but to study and to look at how God would have us apply this great portion of Holy Scripture to our lives. I know that we need wisdom in these days, and the Bible tells us that if any man lacks wisdom, he should ask from above. And God, who is a generous God, will give us that wisdom. He will grant that wisdom to us when we plead to Him for it. And so this morning we plead for that wisdom, and this morning we want to look at another different aspect of wisdom that I think is very practical to each and every one of us. Next Sunday we're going to be talking about what God has to say to us about our friends. Friendship, the friends we keep, and how we make friends, how we keep friends, and how we deal with friends. And there's just such a tremendous amount, a wealth of knowledge and wealth of instruction for us in these great passages on friendship. And then the week after, we're going to talk about money, what Proverbs has to say about money. We're going to talk about a few other things as well. And I'm not sure how much longer I'm going to extend this study, but it'll be a few more weeks anyway. But this morning, I want us to think about the wisdom of words. Words are powerful. Words can kill. Words can heal. Words can bring us to a place where we need to be in life. God's Word has a word for us today concerning the words we speak and what we say and how we say it. Now, I know that there was a real nice little illustration of that right at the beginning of our service this morning, because some of us had our words all confused. There was a little bit of misunderstanding here, and that's good. That's what that happens. And sometimes we say something out of context. Sometimes we say something when we shouldn't say it, and sometimes we say things and not say it. But this morning, I want us to think about what God has to say to us about the words we speak. And I think there's some wisdom here in the words we say and the words we speak and how it affects us in our daily lives. The book of Proverbs has much to say about how we manage our words, and our ability or inability to control our tongues will determine more than anything else the measure of success you enjoy in your relationships, the measure of intimacy you enjoy in terms of our fellowship one with the other in the body of Christ, the level of success that we have in all our relationships. And so if you can't seem to say the right thing, and if you constantly seem to say the wrong thing, maybe someday you'll find yourself to be all alone, alienated from everybody in your life. And we know that's not what is intended. We know that's not what God wants, because God wants us to have a healthy relationship with Him, and He wants us to have a healthy relationship with one another. He wants husbands and wives to have a healthy relationship with one another. And you know, the words we speak can really put a damper sometimes on that relationship. So listen carefully this morning. And if you'd like to write down a few notes and jot down some scripture references that I'm going to give you, then please do just that. You see, some people find it easy to express themselves. I have no trouble in that. And have no trouble saying what's on their mind. Sometimes I say too much. And sometimes I say what's on my mind. And sometimes I don't say what's on my mind. But you know, we usually refer to these people maybe as brilliant conversationalists. Some of them can talk on and on and on and use countless words and be able to speak forever and talk forever and never get around to saying anything. Have you ever met anybody like that? Sure, there's lots of people like that. But we all know there is more than speaking, more to speaking effectively than to be able to string words together. Last night, I watched a documentary on the life of Johnny Cash, one of my favorite singers. One of my favorite country and western singers, Johnny Cash. And it was 12 years ago yesterday that Johnny Cash died. And Johnny Cash, for those of you who didn't know him, he was the man in black. And he spoke words, and he wrote songs out of conversations. For example, it told last night, that documentary told a little bit about how he wrote that song, "I Walk the Line, Because You're Mine." I'm not going to sing it for you, but I love that song. And it's one of Johnny Cash's signature songs. And he wrote that as a result of sitting down with his friends one day, and he basically was talking about making sure he was in line, and that his wife was not going to get mad at him. And so he said, "I'll walk the line just to keep peace at home." And so he wrote that song, "I Walk the Line," and it became a great hit. And it always will be probably a great country hit and a great country classic. But you know, the Bible teaches something about our conversation and the words we speak. It teaches us to use our words sparingly and to speak with caution. In fact, the book of James says that we ought to be slow to speak, right? It says we are to be slow to speak. We're to be quick to listen. We're to listen. And some of us can speak before we listen. Some of us would rather get the words out of our mouths before we listen to what the other person is saying. And sometimes that can cause havoc. Sometimes that can cause a little confusion. Sometimes it can cause a little bit of disruption. But yet we know, and we know full well, that it's important for us to think about what we say and to do so before we speak. And this morning, I want us to think about a few things that are very practical for us to understand. We need to get into the habit of speaking carefully. We need to be in the habit of using our words wisely. Every single relationship we have and everything we do day in and day out is affected by our words, the words we speak. The Bible tells us in the book of James that words can destroy. Words are like a fire that's out of control, that can be out of control sometimes. Words can be used by the enemy to destroy nations. Did you know that if the president goes, you know, calls a news conference and he says something about the way the world is, that it can cause our stock market to plummet just by the words that he speaks? Do you know that when the president or somebody in high office will speak a word of encouragement, that can help rally people around? Do you know that when he speaks doom and gloom, that can also lead to doom and gloom around the globe? So the words we say, the words we speak are crucial to who we are, to what we're about. Even as disciples of Jesus Christ, we know full well that the words we speak can be powerful instruments of either God or the devil. And so we need to be careful. Three things that we need to remember this morning. Before you speak, here's some things we need to consider. First of all, consider saying nothing at all. Well, I don't know if that's up there. Yeah. Consider saying nothing at all. You know, whoa. For some people, that's hard. For me, that's hard, to say nothing at all. And I'm going to tell you that there are three things that if you take to heart will absolutely liberate you and revolutionize every relationship you have. They all deal with saying nothing at all. Nothing at all? Yeah? Follow me. Listen carefully to what I'm going to say, because this is important for us to remember. Number one, you don't have to say everything you know, right? You don't have to speak everything you know. I happened to work in a place where we all gathered together in the break room, And there's two or three of my co-workers that seem to monopolize the time, and they try to impress everybody by what they think they know and by what they say. They're always talking. And sometimes I feel like yelling out, shut up. Sometimes I feel like saying that. I don't say it, obviously. But here's two or three people that are trying to impress you by the things that they know. And they always seem to be an expert in every subject. This one lady in particular, she seems to be an expert in health issues. She seems to be an expert in political issues, in family things, in family matters, and you name it. She is a number one expert to go to in time of need. But she says a lot. And she drives people crazy sometimes. You see, you may know something about someone, but just because you know it and just because it may be true doesn't mean that you have to say it. It doesn't mean you have to say it. If what you say does not build up others and bring glory to the name of Christ, then I would suggest to you that you're better off by keeping your mouth shut. Absolutely. You see, in Proverbs 17, verse 27, write this verse down. A man of knowledge uses words with restraint. A man of knowledge uses words with restraint. Some of the most knowledgeable people I know on this planet don't talk. They don't talk very much. In fact, it's hard to get them to talk. It's hard to get it out of them. But yet, they are the most wise, most generous, most heartfelt individuals that you can meet anywhere. All you need to do is look at the political landscape right now and see all those who are running for office. There are those who are talking a mile a minute, and they're saying how great they are. And yet there are those who seem to be have more of a humble attitude and spirit about things and the way things go. I believe that God will honor the one that may not have much to say more than anything else. You see, you don't always have to say what you know. You don't always have to impress or think you're impressing other people. Number two, you don't have to say everything you think. Now, of course, if you don't think much, you can't say it anyway. You don't have to say what you think. And sometimes, you know, that can be problematic. Some people believe they know a little bit more than on any subject than anyone else. You know, case in point, Elaine, who is always spouting at the mouth in the break room at work. She's always talking, thinks she knows everything about everything, in every subject. She's an expert in almost everything. Well, you know, sometimes it's important. I hope she'll come to the point some days where she realizes that she's not an expert in everything. And maybe she does need to be quiet sometimes. You see, whatever subject comes up in conversation, whether it might be the stock market or whether it be computers or whether it be criminal justice or whether it be football or politics or religion, it doesn't matter. You're not there's no person who can be an expert in those subjects. You can have opinions in them, and sometimes your opinions, it's probably better off just to hold them to yourself a little bit. You see, sometimes it's important for us that we don't have to say everything we think. How many of you remember the TV program Cheers on TV? Well, there's a little street in Boston, a little bar room, the Cheers Bar in Boston, where you can go, and today they have a replica of Cheers and the set and everything and all the characters that were in that. The character on Cheers that I think of is a guy named Cliff Clavin. And he's like this, you know, no matter what subject comes up in the conversation, he has something to say about it. You see, he is a self-proclaimed authority on anything and everything. And he's also the object of a lot of jokes. And a lot of jokes, in fact. I heard someone say that in just about every group of friends, There is someone like Cliff Clavin. Almost every group. And if you look at your group of friends, and if you don't see someone like Cliff Clavin in your group, maybe you should take a long, hard look at yourself. Because you may be that person. We should think about what Solomon said. We should think about it very clearly, that even if, as it says in Proverbs 17:28, it says that even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent. And there's good advice there for us. And I'm sure it's important for us to remember that. You say you don't have to say everything you think. And before you speak, keep this principle in mind, that silence looks like knowledge. It does. And so remember to think first, speak second, and thirdly, you don't have to repeat everything you hear. You don't have to repeat everything you hear. There are some people like that. They hear something, and then within 5 seconds, it's gone off to the next person. It's repeated, and it's gone down the pike. Or that person is on the phone, repeating what they just heard. And gossip can take place as a result of that. And gossip can be dangerous. Gossip can ruin lives. Gossip, I've seen it destroy churches. Gossip can be something that will not only harm you, but harm others, but also harm the witness of the gospel. You see, you don't have to repeat everything you hear. To a certain extent, you know, when you say you're catching up with the gossip when you get together with someone for coffee, I know what you're saying. I know it's just a figure of speech, but it's all too often too accurate. It's an accurate way of making conversation. You see, we need to take gossip seriously. Do you know that Proverbs says what it says about gossip? It says a lot about gossip. The Bible has a lot to say about gossip. The Bible condemns gossip. This is what the writer of the book of Proverbs says about gossip in Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 28. It says this: a perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. Gossipers can separate friendship. Gossipers can destroy friendships. Gossipers can destroy relationships of everyone, every kind. And if there's anything that's an enemy to the kingdom of God, is this whole spirit of gossip, because it can destroy. It can really do a terrible thing. So those are some practical things we need to remember. Repeating everything you hear destroys friendship. So this is why we need to think before we speak. And this is why we need to consider whether we should say anything at all. You don't have to repeat everything you hear. And the first step to managing your mouth is to consider not saying anything at all. The second step is this. The second thing we need to remember is this, that we need to consider whether or not we have all the facts when we speak, when we make a statement, especially when we make a judgment, when we say something, is it really factual? Is it something that's really truthful? Some of you may remember back in 1996, there was an explosion that took place in Atlanta, Georgia, during the Olympics. There was a gentleman whose name was Richard Jewell. Richard Jewell was a security officer who was first on the scene when a bomb went off during those Olympics in Atlanta, Georgia. He acted conscientiously, he acted courageously, and he was, in fact, he was a hero. On that particular night when that happened, he saved a lot of lives. Then, as is typical in such events, the FBI began to probe, and they developed suspicions about Jewell, and they began to point their finger at Jewell, saying, well, this is the man here who was the one who set off the bomb. He was the one that did it. Now, the FBI, they were simply doing their job. They needed to almost count anybody in as a suspect. But the media went wild with the story. They went absolutely crazy with it. The Atlanta Journal Constitution printed a story picked with innuendo and misleading comments. The New York Post called him a fat, former, failed sheriff's deputy. That's the label they gave him. And then, if that wasn't the worst, Tom Brokaw, who was the anchor of NBC News, made this statement about him. He said this, that they probably have enough to arrest him right now, probably enough to prosecute him, but you always want enough to convict him. Tom Brokaw convicted him right on the public airways. And he didn't stand a chance. There was no such thing as unbiased reporting because it was biased. Well, you know the story how it turned out. Richard Jewell didn't plant the bomb. He really was a hero, but he put his life in danger to save other people, and he was ripped to shreds by the press. He was ripped to shreds by the media. He was ripped to shreds by Tom Brokaw. And I think that story teaches us a couple of things. It reminds us that just because Tom Brokaw said something, it doesn't mean it's true. When you watch the newscast, whether it's Fox News or whether it's CNN or whether it's any other network or any narrator or any broadcaster, any journalist, it doesn't mean what they're saying is true. It may not be true. It may be caught up with all kinds of fluffiness, if you will. You see, we need to be careful of that. You can do a lot of damage if you speak before you get the facts. That can happen even in the body of Christ. That can happen in our relationship with one another as believers as well. We can say things that are not factual and get ourselves into a lot of trouble. We can cause division and we can cause dissension by saying things that are not true. So we need to get the facts. We need to get them right. We need to get them good. We need to get them nailed down. And sometimes we need to just be quiet about it because it may not be any of our business anyway. That's what it comes down to. In Proverbs 14, verse 3, it says, "A fool's talk brings a rod to his back, but the lips of the wise protect him." The lips of the wise protect him. This is why you have to think first and speak second and make sure you have all the facts. And you need to remember that Solomon says here in Proverbs 17, verse 27, that a man of knowledge uses words with restraint. And so we need to speak carefully. Consider whether or not we have the facts before we open our mouths. And the third thing we need to do is this. We need to consider the best way to say what needs to be said. We need to think about saying something that needs to be said. And there are times when we need to say something. There are times when when it's probably not good that we keep quiet. But we need to say something. But it's how we say it. And it's how we say it in the right tone of voice. It's how we say it with the right attitude, in the right spirit, in the right way. It's not what we say sometimes, but it's how we say it. That's important. The Bible has something for us to learn here about how we do that. We don't live in a perfect world, do we? We certainly don't. And sometimes we have to say some things that aren't pleasant. Proverbs says this in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 23. It says this, that a man finds joy in an apt reply. And how good is a timely word. A timely word. Sometimes we can say things that are timely. Timely meaning, with good meaning, with good attitude, with everything else. Sometimes we can get a word, it comes at the right time, at the right moment, in the right situation. There are other times when we say something, it may come at the wrong time, in the wrong moment, in the wrong situation. Now, case in point, the story I heard of a policeman who pulled over a man and his wife for speeding down a deserted road. And since the road was clear and the weather was fine, the state trooper told them that he would let them off with a warning. And that was fine. He even complimented the man and his wife for wearing a seatbelt. And at that moment, this gentleman's wife all of a sudden leaned over to the state trooper and said, "Well, officer, when you drive like speeds like we do, you gotta wear your seatbelt." At which point, the state trooper, guess what he did? He wrote him a ticket. There is a time to speak. There's a time to be silent. There's a time to say something appropriate. There's a time not to. And it says that in Ecclesiastes. A time to speak, a time to be quiet. How important it is for us to keep that in mind. You see, this is an example of not considering the best way to say something. And we've all been there, haven't we? I've been there. I've said things at the wrong time in the wrong place. And I've said things that are just totally way out to lunch. And, you know, people have shaken their heads at me, and I've done likewise with people that I've heard say things. You see, if you need to confront your spouse or your child or an employee about a problem, you need to take time to find the right way to go about saying what you need to say. How important that is. I learned that in the work world, out there in the workforce. There's a time for everything. There's a time to say what you need to say. And you need to ask yourself, how can I say what I need to say in a way that will build that person up? In a way that will encourage that person? How can I do that best? How can I please God? How will God be proud of me for what I say, when I say it, and how I say it, if you will? A woman once said to me, "My husband has a way of telling me to do things that make me want to do the exact opposite of whatever he says." And that's true. I'm sure that's a fact in many situations. Look for the best way to say what needs to be said. And again, Proverbs has something to say about how you do that. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, listen to this, that the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You see, when we speak to one another, we need to keep those words in mind, that the tongue has the power of life and death. So as you know, this message is just one part of this series in the wisdom of Solomon. The Bible says so much about speaking carefully when we need to, and what we need to say, and so on and so forth. Words have tremendous power, and we need to be very careful how we use our words, especially within the local body of believers, especially in the local church, among one another as Christians, and especially as we go out into the world, and as we witness to the grace of Jesus Christ in a world that needs him most. We need to be careful of the words we speak. Words have tremendous power, and we need to make sure we use them carefully. And the Bible says this in Proverbs 13, verse 3. Oh, there's just so many verses here. Proverbs 13, 3, it says that he who guards his lips guards his life. He who guards his lips guards his life. And he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. Good advice for us to remember. And while it's not true that God only gives a certain number of words to speak in our lifetime, and when our words are used up, our life comes to an end, it's true that there is great danger in talking too much, especially when we talk before we think. And the Bible says that in Proverbs 10, verse 19, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. You don't have to take a vow of silence, but all of us would probably could use a little bit of encouragement along these lines in how we use our words, in how we speak with one another. The Bible tells us in the New Testament that we are to build up one another, that we're to use words of encouragement, that we're to use words of love, that we're to use words of encouragement and enhancing and helping people along their journey, whatever that might be. In guarding our lips, we guard our lives. We strengthen our relationships, and we build others up in a close walk to Jesus Christ. May God help us today to guard our tongues, to guard our lips, and to say what we need to say with love and purpose. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for giving us the privilege of being able to communicate with one another. And Lord, sometimes we mess it up. Sometimes we speak words that are out of line. Sometimes we speak words that ought not to be spoken. Sometimes it's better to be quiet and not say anything. And sometimes when we do speak, Lord, we need to say what we need to say in the right way. And so, Lord, give us grace. Give us wisdom. Grant us courage. For in these hours, Lord, we know that we have a roaring enemy, the enemy who is Satan himself, who is seeking to devour us and to destroy us. And Lord, that's not what you want, because we know that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And so, oh God, be Lord of our words, be Lord of our lips, be Lord of our relationships to one another and to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we close this morning, we're going to take our hymnal once again and